Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair this morning, the Mayor of Hartford, making his monthly appearance, Mayor Bronin. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan. Good to be with you.
Anything going on?
No, quiet as usual.
Mayor, let's start first of all with, I guess, the Hartford City Council voted to have this oversight board look into the city and the finances. Give us an overview.
Well, in the bipartisan budget that passed earlier this year, there was a statewide municipal accountability review board that was set up. And that is set up, again, statewide to help provide accountability for cities and towns at different levels of distress. You know, this is something that I'd been advocating for a while. You know, when I came in a couple of months after I came in, I called for a sustainability commission to be set up. I testified in favor of this and supported it. Look, here's my view of it. I'm confident in the decisions that we've made and in the budget discipline that we've showed. So I welcome the chance to have the accountability board open our books. I welcome their advice. And as part of that, what the bipartisan budget included was a set of tools that we've been arguing for, including some debt restructuring tools in partnership with the state, including the municipal restructuring fund. And I support that. And now our job is to use those tools and get this city on the stable footing that that we're moving quickly towards.
Now, you renegotiated another contract, this one with the police union. Talk about that.
Yeah, look, this is another big step forward toward that sustainability and strength that we've been fighting for. I want to thank the Hartford Police Union, the leadership of the union, and the members of the Hartford Police Department. You know, I mean, they put themselves at risk every single day for the city and for the safety of our residents. This was a long, tough negotiation, as you know, but at the end of the day, this is a contract that will save millions of dollars each year in the coming years and also make some really big structural changes for the long term.
How many more unions do you have to deal with?
Well, we've got seven unions total on the city side. We've now done deals with three of them, but two of those are the biggest unions we've got. You know, we've now done very significant deals with the Hartford Firefighters Association and the Hartford Police Union, which are two biggest. And, you know, both those deals have similar components. You know, they included 4 years of zero wage increases. They included really significant increases in pension contributions, big increases in employee health care contributions, shifting over to a high-deductible health care plan, which is an HSA, with an HSA, and long-term pension reforms. Because what was important to me was not just to get savings now, but to make sure that we weren't doing it at the expense of future generations. So we got significant savings this year and each of the years of these contracts, but we also made those long-term changes to make sure that we're solving problems, not creating problems for future generations.
So is that going to be able to save the taxpayers the amount of money needed to avoid Hartford's obviously structural deficit problems?
We got what we were seeking from these negotiations. You know, this police union negotiation will save about $4 million a year in the years ahead. So it saves about $2 million this year for the remainder of this year. You know, we're 6 months into this fiscal year. Next year, it's about $3.6 million, and then it's a $4 million savings in our budget projections for each of the years after that till 2022.
I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. I'm sure you saw the Current's editorial yesterday that Moody's has Hartford in deficit, $80 million a year out to 2036. Did they get that figure?
Dan, there's no surprise there. I've been talking about that for two years, but that's the problem that we're fixing. So we are in the midst not just of doing these labor negotiations, but also negotiating alongside the state and in partnership with the state on a debt restructuring. So we're going to be negotiating. We are negotiating with bondholders, bond insurers. We've talked many times about the fact that that's a big part of the problem, is that prior administrations just delayed debt payments and pushed it out. We had a mountain of debt to deal with, and we have to deal with that. And I'm adamant about dealing with that, again, without just recreating the problem for some future mayor or future city council. So that's the negotiation we're in right now. But when we get that resolved, I believe that we will be able to put this city on a path, not just on a path, but that we will be able to look taxpayers in the eye and businesses and residents and show balanced budgets, not just this year, but in the years ahead. That's the goal that I've been focused on from day one, and I think we are getting very close to being there.
Is there a timetable to get this debt restructured with the bond companies?
There's no specific timetable, but as with all this stuff, you know, the sooner the better.
Yeah, but at some point, I would guess, Mayor, that the push is going to come to shove, right? You're going to have to reach some kind of a resolution in that area.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But you still don't have a specific timetable.
There is no specific timetable, but it's important. And took the same approach with these labor negotiations. Look, these were long, tough, I think, fair negotiations. But at the end of the day, you can't prioritize speed over the outcome. You got to make sure that the outcome is the one that you want, because this isn't just about, you know, saving some money for the next couple of months. This is about, you know, stability and strength for the next 5 years, 10 years, the next generation.
Are there any imminent announcement when it comes to the union negotiations where you might reach another settlement with one of the other unions?
We'll see. Look, I never predict these things until you're actually there. But you know, I think there are a lot of folks who didn't think that we were going to be able to get where we got, either with our firefighters union or with the police or with CHPIA, which is the other union that. That we reached an agreement with last week. And I give, again, our firefighters, our police officers, the CHPIA members, a lot of credit, because these were tough contracts, but they stepped up to be part of the solution. And, you know, I'm grateful for that.
Black & Decker moving to the city. Talk about that.
You know, this to me is one of the most exciting things, you know, in the last few weeks. I'd been talking with the CEO of Stanley Black & Decker, Jim Lurie, for many months, actually for more than a year, about the idea of Stanley Black & Decker putting an advanced manufacturing center of excellence in the capital city. And that's what they did. That's what they announced this past week. Along with that, they're also creating an accelerator. What an accelerator is, it's a business development. It supports startup companies. It identifies the most promising startup companies working in the field of advanced manufacturing, connects them with support, with mentorship, with technical assistance, and with capital. And they're doing that in partnership with one of the leading brands in this arena, which is called Techstars. So you've got a long-standing, large Connecticut company deciding to do the work of innovation for the next generation of advanced manufacturing in Connecticut's capital city. To me, that's a big win for not just Hartford, but for the state of Connecticut.
Okay, hold that thought. I know we're going to get a traffic update now from Cindy Waitman on this Wednesday morning. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Dan. 95 South exit 43 in West Haven had a three-car crash cleared away. We're looking at delays on 84 both ways through Waterbury, farther east from Route 9 and Farmington out to I-91. You're going slow. And westbound exits 57 out towards exit 48 for Capitol Avenue. Two westbounds on the brakes through Glastonbury. Northbound 91 gets busy heading into Weathersfield. Southbound delays exits 38 down through I-84. 140 in Ellington closed up. Car versus a pole accident that happened early this morning between Stafford Road and Copper Lane Road. Both directions are affected. This report is brought to you by the Foundation for a Better Life. Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat. Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com. I'm Cindy Waitman back at 8:34 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Thank you, Cindy. Lenses Only Optical is changing the way people buy glasses. And you've heard us talk about Lenses Only Optical. You get digital quality lenses installed in your existing frames for half the cost of big retail stores. They'll install the lenses while you wait, so you'll never be without your glasses. And if you need new frames, they have the best selection and price of designer frames and sunglasses in Connecticut. Visit Tom and Steve at one of their convenient locations in Bloomfield, Hartford, or Meriden, or call them at 860-769-2020, 860-769-2020. Lenses Only, where lenses are always on sale. Back in our Touchpoint Rehab interview chair, Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin. Mayor, I saw a story on one of the websites about Dunkin' Donuts Park and the development in that area. What can you say about that?
Well, we've got an RFP out right now to seek proposals, see what the market thinks will be successful and viable at that site. And you know what that article was about? I think you're talking about the one in the Hartford Business Journal. It's talking about the number of developers who are interested in that area. You know, I've been saying for a while, I think that that is an attractive site for development. As you know, it was wrapped up in long and difficult and complicated slog to free the ballpark development of a contractor who should never have been doing it and who was also given the development rights. So we are, we've terminated them on that project. We have that RFP out. And as that story said, I think there are a lot of developers who recognize the enormous potential of the city of Hartford and who recognize the enormous potential of that site.
Do you have a preference of what you'd like to see there?
I'd like to see mixed-use development, residential and commercial, but I want to see what the market comes back with, and we'll see what the proposals come in.
Where does the case stand with the original developer? Is it still in the courts? Give us a rundown.
Well, you know, they have challenged their termination on the construction project, but I don't think there's a lot of basis for them challenging that. I think it's pretty clear to everyone that they didn't deliver what they were responsible for delivering to the city of Hartford. So I'm confident about our position. You know, these cases like this can take a little while to play out, but I'm very confident about where the city is in this litigation. And, you know, there was another case, a separate case the other day, where CenterPlan, this construction company, sued Josh Solomon, the ballpark owners, claiming that there was some conspiracy to, you know, to prevent CenterPlan from finishing the job. And the judge in that case whacked CenterPlan pretty hard.
Yeah.
And I think he said something like, you know, CenterPlan's allegations are connected to the truth by a, you know, trail of sand or something like
that.
He
essentially laughed him out of court.
He laughed him out of court. So, look, we fired these guys for a reason, and I'm confident about where we are.
Aetna, since you last appeared, of course, CVS Health making this move to buy Aetna. How does this affect Hartford? How could it affect Hartford? What are you doing?
Sure. Well, look, I think the first answer is we don't know yet, but I've been in contact with senior leadership at Aetna. I've now been in contact with leadership at CVS. I think we have to see this as an opportunity, and we have to try to seize it as an opportunity. You know, CVS is a New England company. It's headquartered in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and I think we need to use this as a chance to build a new relationship with a New England-based healthcare company and see if we can position Connecticut and Hartford not just to retain those jobs that Aetna's got, but to be part of the growth plan. You know, across the board, yes, we need to be fighting to retain jobs, but to really move this city and state forward, we've got to be fighting to grow jobs. So I think we have to see things like this as opportunities and then work to grab them. Obviously, there's a lot of steps to go through. There's a regulatory process. You know, make sure that consumers are protected throughout that process. But I think we as a state and as a city have to be thinking about whether and how we can use this as a chance for growth.
Do you worry that the governor of Rhode Island might offer some kind of incentive package to have Aetna pick up and move next door?
Look, if I were... I'm not in this deal, and I'm not. I don't want to speak for anyone or speculate about anyone. But I always say this: if I were CVS, spending a lot of money to acquire Aetna, I'm not sure I would want to spend all the additional money it would take to move a large and historic insurance headquarters out of a city that's pretty darn close to the CVS headquarters to start with.
I get asked all the time, and some of the Republican gubernatorial candidates, particularly, are saying that Hartford should just declare bankruptcy. How come Hartford is not declaring bankruptcy?
Well, look, we've talked many times about this, Dan. There were two paths that we laid out, that I laid out, that were pretty clear. Bankruptcy was one path. There are a lot of downsides to that path for the state of Connecticut. The other path is the path that Republicans and Democrats alike included in this budget package, which was a comprehensive solution, a comprehensive set of tools that give us the ability to put the city of Hartford on a stable fiscal footing for the years ahead. And our attention has now shifted from preparing for bankruptcy, and as you know, I was doing that very publicly and very seriously, to using the tools that make it possible for us to get on a strong and stable foundation for the city of Hartford. So what I would say is I think Republicans and Democrats alike chose that path in this last budget, and it's our responsibility to, as a state, as Republicans and Democrats, to make that successful.
What's going to happen next year, though, when you get into a new fiscal year? How does that affect
there's
Hartford?
There's such a misunderstanding
about what's
in the budget. The most important thing that the budget makes possible is a partnership between the city and the state on debt restructuring. And we're in those negotiations, as I said. If and when we get that done, that's not a one-year fix. That's not a Band-Aid. That's not something that just closes a gap for a year and a half but leaves us coming back next year in the same crisis. That's actually dealing with the long-term challenge, and that's been my focus and goal.
Now, you set the political world afire announcing you filed papers for an exploratory committee to run for governor. How's that going? What are you hearing?
It's going great. I mean, gotten a lot of positive feedback, you know, starting the circuit of Democratic town committees around the state and obviously raising money for the exploratory committee as well. But there's been a lot of good feedback out talking with, you know, communities around the state and Democratic leaders around the state and I think folks of both parties around the state.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the feedback from the other side, too. So let's start with you pledged to serve out your full term as mayor. What do you say to that?
Look, First of all, I didn't expect to run this time, and I didn't plan to be exploring this time. But our state is at a critical moment, and I don't think any of our communities, cities, small towns, suburbs, any of them, can be successful if we don't get our state on track. The other thing is, you know, with respect to Hartford, a lot of folks in Hartford have encouraged me to explore this run because they know that, again, just like towns and communities all over the state of Connecticut, Hartford's future is tied to Connecticut's future. And there's a big difference between finishing the term and finishing the job. And to really finish the job, we need partnership and leadership at the state that's laying out a vision for how we get this state moving forward.
Now, you know the Republicans are out there saying, you're Dan Malloy's guy. It's going to be a Malloy shadow government. He's an unpopular governor. What do you say to that?
Well, look, Republicans are going to try to tie any Democrat to Governor Malloy. But here's what I would say. Look, Dan Malloy and I are different people. We've got very different styles. You know, I've served in a lot of different places. Served in the military, including in Afghanistan. I was 4 years at the Obama administration at the U.S. Treasury Department, both in the wake of the financial crisis and then leading the office that was charged with cutting off the flow of funds to terrorist groups and rogue regimes like Iran. Was the chief attorney to the governor for a couple years where I worked on issues that I'm proud of. I mean, environmental issues, combating chronic veterans, homelessness, criminal justice reform. Those are things I'm proud of. And as mayor, I think my record stands on its own. We tackled a massive and historic fiscal crisis with transparency, with honesty. I think we did it boldly and by building partnerships and bringing everybody around the table to be part of that. And to me, you know, I'm proud of that record. I think it stands alone, and I look forward to talking with folks all over the state about that record and also about my vision for Connecticut.
Has Governor Malloy been a good governor?
Look, I think there are things that I agree with and there are things that I disagree with. I think everybody knows that he came into office at a time when the state was facing some huge challenges. He's had to make some very tough decisions. There are things I agree with and there are things I don't agree with.
Why do you think he just doesn't score well in the polls? Never really has.
Look, I don't know. I think he's said this himself, that he can be prickly. So I think to some extent there's a style. It's a style issue. But look, I think he's done, again, I think in the face of huge challenges, I think he's had to make a lot of hard decisions. I agree with some. I don't agree with them all. And, you know, again, I would say he and I are different people with very different styles.
Do you have a date as to when you are going to make a decision on this run being definitive?
No, I don't have a specific date. I mean, in the coming weeks, I'm going to be out there talking with folks all over the state. Again, you know, talking about my vision for Connecticut, sharing my record, and seeing if people agree with that vision and seeing if people think that that kind of leadership that I can offer is what the state needs.
have about 30 seconds. There are those who say, how can you serve as a mayor of the capital city and run for governor simultaneously?
Well, it's not uncommon for, first of all, for mayors to run for other office. So I assume they're asking that same question about Mark Boughton or Aaron Stewart if she runs, or, you know, any number of others. I'd also say this. I work long, long hours. One thing I'll say is I don't get everything right, and I make plenty of mistakes, but I don't know of anybody who works harder, and I'm going to keep working hard for the city of Hartford as we go forward.
Mr. Mayor, always a pleasure. Thanks
for joining
us. I
appreciate it. Great to see you. And if I don't see you before, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you as well. Lon Seidman coming up following the news. Don't go away.